Well, good morning, Texas. Hope you all had a good holiday weekend, fishing or being with your family. Just resting and relaxing in the hot, humid Texas sun. We were nice and cool up here in North Dakota, but at any rate, let's get back into our messages. Also hope the piano music was okay for you. I hope you enjoyed listening to those hymns. Let's get into our program this morning, back to our studies here. This morning, we're going to take on a pretty big chunk, and it's a big chunk mostly for the King James Bible type of people that say that the King James Bible is the Word of God. And this is one that they don't usually understand, and yet this is probably, to me, one of the most important historical events that's taken place, other than Christ's birth and death and resurrection. This will help explain so many things that are taking place today. Why does God not shut them down or chastise because of that? Why does God allow these things to take place? And what are these things that you're talking about here? Well, if we go through Corinthians, we see that there are things in there that Paul and his teachings of the risen Savior actually preach and teach to the Gentiles against those things, yet he did them. What are you talking about? Well, if you look through 1 Corinthians, you'll see that Paul was involved with healing. He was involved with miracles. He did a baptism. There was the Lord's Supper in there. We see that there was knowledge given to people from God directly. We see that these people were knowing things, as God said, he freely was given to these people, that he freely gave these things to people. There was a spirituality, there was a spiritual discernment that God expected during those days. The Spirit of God would give to the people the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge. They would have, like I say, discerning of spirits. There were divers and speaking in tongues, diverse tongues and speaking in tongues. And then there's interpretation of tongues. People had those gifts. People had that ability. They had a wisdom from God. They had a knowledge about God from God. They had a discernment. And they would speak in tongues. In fact, Paul even has the rules and regulations, if you would call it such, the guidelines for those choosing to speak in tongues. But yet he wasn't big on it. It wasn't a big thing to him, as we will look at when we look at the tongues chapter here in a day or so. What are these things? How could this take place? If you just skim through 1 Corinthians 11, you see that a woman that prayeth or prophesied with her head uncovered, what are we talking about here? Prophesy? Can a woman do that? Was that okay? And it says that her head uncovered dishonoreth her head. For if a woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. These are some strange things. And a man ought not to cover his head, as he is the image and God of glory, but the woman is the glory of man. Well, does that take place today? Does God stop any of this? I mean, men seem to leave their hats on all the time now. Cowboy hats, baseball caps, they can't live without them, it seems like. And it's the ladies that are going hatless. Are we talking about hats here? What about long hair? Doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her? That's in there. Like I say, we've got talking about idols here. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife. Let every woman have her own husband. Talks about divorce, remarriage in here. There's all sorts of things here in Corinthians that don't seem to affect anything today. Why would that be? I guess the question I would ask was, these people had direct communication with God, and there's something they didn't have. They did not have a Bible. They had scriptures, but they were Old Testament scriptures. They had Paul's preachings and teachings, but he wasn't there for everybody. So these people that, you know, dedicated their lives, their works to God, in whatever realm Corinthians is talking about here, they were able to receive the Holy Ghost, laying on of hands, speak in tongues. They had a knowledge. They had a wisdom. They had a discernment. That is spirituality. And it was all of us, Paul's, as God says, were given freely to these people. So what are we talking about here this morning? Well, let's fix this thing up. We go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and we go to verse 8. Now, we just get done talking verses 1 through 7 about charity, not love. Charity is a different, just a little bit different than a love. For one thing, charity, if you do a study of the word charity, you will see that charity, beyond its definition of love, which we will talk about in another program, charity beyond the definition of love was only to be given to the brethren. This is not to the world as such. This is to the brethren. if you read a lot of Paul's materials, you're going to see that he is directing what he's saying to the brethren, not to the world, to those that are the church of God, which is what is called the saved Gentiles, not like the other Gentiles live, but the church of God Gentiles. Okay, that's another program. But we see in chapter 13, verse 8, charity never faileth. Whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. We're talking here about all these things that were taking place in Corinthians, for example. Freely given this, the knowledge, the wisdom, the discerning of spirits, speaking in tongues, interpreting tongues, etc., etc., that they were done in part. And he says in verse 10, now this is one of the most important verses in the Bible. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. So whatever that is, that which is perfect, whenever that comes or came or whatever, all this other stuff, the giving of knowledge, the giving of wisdom from God, that's what was freely given, the discernment of spirits, speaking in tongues, prophesy, interpretation of tongues, baptism, all the things that take place in this chapter, in this book of Corinthians, are done away with if it's already come. Really? You mean that stuff doesn't exist today? Well, hang on. Go to verse, let's finish this up in verse 11. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. Here's my point. We go back to verse 10. When that which is perfect is come. Now we've got to remember, perfect means completed, finished. 2 Chronicles chapter 8, verse 16 defines the word perfect. Something is perfected, something is perfect, you're done, you're finished. If somebody's trying to be perfect, that doesn't mean that they're going to be errorless. You want to clean your room? You get done, you go fingers up in the air and go, perfect, done. That's what you mean, you're done. When man is being perfected, it means we will be finished, we will be completed. So what we're looking at here, but when that which is perfect, well, everybody says, well, that must be referring to Jesus Christ. I'm one to say that that's referring to the King James Bible. Yes, the King James Bible, 1611. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away with. A simple explanation that this cannot be Jesus Christ, that when Jesus Christ has come, then that which is in part shall be done away. Because if that's referring to Jesus Christ, then all this other stuff, discerning of spirits, Spirit giving us knowledge, Spirit giving us the word of wisdom, spirituality, things that will be freely given to us from God, healing, miracles, signs, wonders, all these things, baptism, Lord's Supper, speaking in tongues, that will all take place because we're waiting for Jesus to come. Well, he's already come the first time. So this would have to be referring to his second coming. Okay, so if that's the case then, verse 13 would say that now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. That would say that the most important thing for a Christian today is to have charity. The greatest of these, faith, hope, and charity, would be charity. And that sounds fine. It sounds good. Here's God giving to people all this wisdom, all this knowledge, all this discernment. There would be speaking in tongues. There would be miracles, healings, wonders. All these things would be taking place, and charity would be the most important thing. Well, doesn't that just sound like what Christianity is today? People say the wisdom they have is from God. The word of knowledge, the knowledge they have, is from God. They have a discernment of spirits. They have a discernment of right and wrong. They speak in tongues. Different churches have now learned how to speak in tongues. Lutherans, Methodists, Baptists, everybody's out there touching base on speaking in tongues, mostly because of the Alpha Bible Study program brought that in. There's baptisms of various different styles, various different ways, various different dips, dunks, and all that stuff. There's the Lord's Supper, once a week, every day, once a year, twice a year, with a wafer, not a wafer, grape juice, wine, you know. It's the body of Christ, it's the blood of Christ, it's a symbol of the body of Christ, it's a mess. And people that say that God gives them the word of knowledge, what do they know about God? Their perception of God today is getting very perverted. Well, what about knowledge? Well, what they know about God is next to nothing, see? And this wisdom. Are people showing wisdom? They're waiting for God to chastise them or not to allow something to take place if it's something that doesn't please God. Do they even know what it is to please God? Then you've got the Bible kind of guys that are trying to follow the Great Commission. You've got them trying to do the Beatitudes, trying to get them to love everybody and all this kind of stuff, because their Bible doesn't say charity, it just says love. And we should love everybody, as Jesus loves, present tense, everybody. God loves, present tense, everybody, which is not true, by the way. For God so loved, He offered His Son, His only begotten Son, to the world. He loved the world enough to offer His Son. If they don't receive His Son, if they don't want His Son, He doesn't love them. He can't. Anyway, back on the trail here. All these things seem to be wanting to take place in Christianity. And they say they're waiting for Jesus Christ to come back. And when He does, then all this stuff will be done away with because Jesus is down here on the earth doing His thing. Da-da-da-da. That can't possibly be correct. For one thing, the mixed-up knowledge, the lack of wisdom, the lack of spiritual discernment, the rules that Paul teaches about speaking in tongues aren't even followed anyway. The definition of speaking in tongues, as illustrated in the churches today, is totally wrong. Like I said, the baptism and the Lord's Supper is also mixed up in so many different churches and denominations. Like, what can that prove? Then that can't be waiting for Jesus Christ to come. Because those things don't take place. Healings and miracles, we've learned, are done by the devil during this dispensation of grace. Not by God. God is not trying to show any signs to the Jews. He's trying to show wisdom and knowledge and truth to the Gentiles. Okay, so that leaves one thing. But when that which is perfect is come, that would have to be the King James Bible, 1611. Not any of the Bibles before the 1611. And none of the Bibles after the 1611. Well, what about some of the corrections that had to be made to a 1611? It's no different than, let's say, for example, a Ford Mustang, a 1970 Ford Mustang that comes out of the assembly line, and there's a couple dings in there because some of the manufacturer guys kind of dinged a few things in there, and, you know, comes around and they fix those little things. Didn't change any doctrines. It just took out a couple dings that were made in the process, and it's still a 1970 Ford Mustang. So a 1611, with a couple of the tweaks that had to be done to that thing, because man is what man is, as we all agree to that, but God preserved it, inspired and preserved. So if people want to go back and attack that 1611 Bible, which I understand why, because they have to get rid of this final authority. They have to get rid of this thing that changed Christianity. Because if they can get rid of that thing, then they can go back to this private knowledge, this private wisdom, this private discernment, this interpretation of so-called scriptures. They can go back to speaking in tongues. They can go back to creating miracles and signs for people and wonders, and they can do all the different preachings, and they can say God gave it to them. But see, this King James Bible nails everything down to whether it's true or false. It is the final authority. It's perfect. It's done. Nothing's going to come after this. Nothing came before it. So then the question would be, which people ask about this King James Bible. Well, if the King James Bible was that which is perfect, started in 1611, where was the Word of God before 1611? Was it in the Geneva? Was it the Matthew's Bible? No. Those are all part of the process of God putting this whole thing together to make that which is perfect, completed, finished, 1611. If you understand the history of this 1611 King James Bible, the death, the bloodshed, the torturing, the hatred that went on to keep this thing from being printed, you might understand more about the dangers this Bible represents to Christianity, or other words, to the devil, to his ministers of righteousness. So anything before 1611 in a print, you got the Matthew's Bible, you got the Geneva Bible, you got all these different English Bibles. People still didn't like them, but there are people still that wanted them. But was that which is perfect? No. Well, where was the Word of God before 1611? Just read Corinthians. God gave to people the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, discernment of spirits. And there was speaking in tongues. Was there speaking in tongues before 1611, or did it go out away a long time ago before that? I personally think it went right up to 1611. For one thing, speaking in tongues was not that big a deal. Paul said it's not that important. It just causes confusion unless there are some things that had to take place. And well, like I say, we'll go through the guidelines of speaking in tongues during these days. During the day, what days? Well, during the days before the 1611 Bible. Do we want to speak in tongues today? No, because that which is perfect came. And so that which was done in part was done away with. What is that? Well, verse 8, prophecies, tongues, knowledge. What, there's knowledge is gone? No, it's that knowledge that was given to people freely from God. Now, if you want that knowledge, if you want to get those prophecies, you go to a King James Bible. You want some wisdom, you got to read that King James Bible. Want to be able to discern between good and evil, right and wrong, pleasing God and not pleasing God? You don't have to pray and ask for the answers in your little mind, your little heart, and your little feelings button. You just have to read your King James Bible, rightly divided, and it makes total sense. You can have that spirituality. You can have that spiritual discernment. You can know those things that are freely given by God. What's so freely given? Everything in this King James Bible has been freely given to us. Not without bloodshed, not without torture, not without persecution. This is the only Bible that had persecution and pain and torture and killing and murder and hatred behind it. In fact, to this day, I still hear people get angry when I mention the King James Bible, when I mention about Paul. They get really angry. But if I just talk about Jesus, or if I just talk about being a Christian or born again or whatever, people can take it or leave it. That there's something powerful about a King James Bible that people to this day still hate. It's a spiritual warfare. The spirit that's in these unsaved people hates the Spirit of God. So this King James Bible just comes into a room. It bothers people. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, the classic chapter that talks about being spiritual in verse 9. As it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. Well, yes, he has. The Spirit of God is behind this King James Bible. God will reveal to us through a Spirit, through his Spirit, but yet through this King James Bible. A lost person that does not have the Spirit of God, this Bible makes no sense to them. They don't understand it. They don't get it. They don't understand rightly dividing when you show it to them. It's a very simple concept. It's nothing difficult or deep at all. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know of the things that are freely given to us of God. That's right. It's in this Bible now. It's revealed to us. It's given to us. You want that knowledge. You want that spirituality. You want that discernment. King James Bible. How can you say that? Because when that which is perfect is come, Paul said, then that which is in part shall be done away. So in 1611, that which is perfect did come. A completed, finished King James Bible. And all that stuff that was done before the Bible is now done away. It's gone. Doesn't work. But if you want that knowledge, and if you want that wisdom, and if you want that discernment, you get it through a King James Bible. That's the simplest thing to explain. Now, we still have a few minutes, and I'll talk about this some more now that I've brought this out into the open. When he says, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. You see, children don't know. And yet we live in a society that's trying to put all this thinking and all this intelligence and all this understanding and wisdom into our children. They don't know. They can't know. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. What's a childish thing? Going by your feeling instead of what's right. So back to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and he says, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth. He does that through the Scriptures. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. The Spirit of God now works through Scriptures. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. So if you haven't put your faith in the risen Savior, the one that Paul teaches, and looking at Paul's books, looking at what the risen Savior taught to Paul to teach to us, then you are not capable of receiving the things of the Spirit of God. In fact, they're foolish to you because you cannot spiritually discern them. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. You want to get involved with judgment? The Scriptures do the judgment, not the person. And you want to judge me or judge somebody who believes this King James Bible to be the Word of God? That's not your judgment to make, because it's about the Word of God that we're following. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. When I first heard that we have the mind of Christ, I thought, now I can think like Christ does. Then it didn't take me long to realize, I'm not thinking like Christ. But if I read this Bible, that's the mind of Christ. I have the mind of Christ. Is my brain tweaked into the mind of Christ? No, he's given me the mind of Christ. That's the risen Jesus through this King James Bible. If I want to think like Christ, I read this King James Bible, and I'll start to think as Christ would have me think. Here's a couple more key words in these verses. He says in verse 12 of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 12, for now we see through a glass darkly. Look at verse 13. And now, we have to remember that Paul is talking about now, meaning his time. When he was there, he was telling people, listen, Paul knew that there was a Bible being put together. Can you imagine what that must have been to him? All the knowledge and all the wisdom that God wants people to have, not just in part, but all of it that's there, he's going to put into a book, and he's going to give it to the world. So when Paul says, but when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away. What a thing. He says, verse 12, but now we see through a glass darkly. They didn't see everything. They didn't know anything. The knowledge, the wisdom, the discernment they had was only in part. For now, we see through a glass darkly. But then, when is then? When that King James Bible came about, face to face. But then, face to face, we can see God. You can see God face to face. You can get the mouth of God. You can hear what God says directly to you. Not through your feelings, through this King James Bible. The Spirit of God will show you as you read your Bible, rightly divided, how it all fits and how it all makes sense. Your eyes will be opened. You'll be turned away from the power of Satan unto God. Okay. He says, for now, we see through a glass darkly, but then, face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. Paul saying, when that book comes put together, he will know about God. He will know what there is to know about the risen Savior as much as Paul already know about people. But then, when that which is perfect has come, shall I know even also as I am known. As much as people know him and what he taught, he will know that much from God directly. And that's why people think it must be Jesus when they see the words face to face. You can meet with God face to face. That is not a problem. You want to pray? You pray. Want to hear God respond to your prayer? Don't look for signs and miracles. Don't be tossing out the fleece as such to see what God's going to do. Read your Bible. And there's just face to face. You can sit down with God anytime you want and hear from him anytime you want, anytime you can, by reading your King James Bible. Directly to you is what Paul teaches. About God, about history, about the Jews, about when he was down on this earth to the Jews, what it's going to be like when he comes back, what the tribulation is going to be like, it's all there. But if you want God to speak to you directly, you read Paul's books. And then you also have to understand, rightly dividing the book of Corinthians, is what takes place in Corinthians can still take place today to a point through the Scriptures. Otherwise, you don't get it. What about speaking in tongues? That's the big one. Well, there's more Scriptures that show that speaking in tongues is still done. You want a language from God? It's English. It's right here in your King James Bible. No other languages. What about all those other people in different countries and different lands? Well, we'll talk about that pretty soon. Remind me of that question. It's a very simple thing. Romans chapter 10 deals with that. And the importance of a King James Bible is the importance of a missionary. Okay, anyway, let's finish this up. Verse 12, for now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now, again, back to and now, That's Paul's time. Abide is faith, hope, charity, not love, but charity. These three. But the greatest of these is charity. Okay, this is during Paul's time. Since this King James Bible's come along, that never faileth, he says. Charity never faileth, but it is no longer the most important. And I'll show you why. Chapter 14, verse 1. Follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts. Just remember now, since this King James Bible came along, spiritual gifts, those are Romans chapter 12, not 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Then he says, but rather, follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may prophesy. And that's teaching the word of God. That's the preaching and teaching of God's words. Look at verse 3. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. Then he starts talking about speaking in tongues versus preaching and teaching. It's amazing stuff. And that's probably the first time most of you have heard that. I hope I did a fair job of explaining it to you. We'll talk about it some more. Start again tomorrow. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When the King James Bible was written, all that other stuff was done away. And now God operates through the Spirit of God, as always, through a King James Bible. Inspired, preserved, and perfect. Not meaning errorless. We know it's errorless. Perfect meaning finished. And all these King James guys that say their Bible is perfect, they are talking, usually they are talking about there's no errors. No, what perfect means is it's finished. It's completed. No changes. We'll continue this interesting subject tomorrow.